Hey, you're listening to the Geeks for the Win podcast with your host William, aka PoetXO44, and his co-host Stuart, known across the internet as Casual Tater, and maybe even a special guest or two. They will indulge your geeky fascination with movies, TV shows, video games, and comic books, anything and everything considered geek. And now over to William.
And welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we cover all things geeky. Today, we are recording on August 3rd at 7:25 Eastern, or 7:25 Central Standard. Yeah. And I am your host, William, aka PoetXO44, and I am joined with my co-host, Stuart.
Known across the internet as Casual Terror.
And a very special guest, Dark DJ.
Good to be here.
Alrighty. First off, Dark DJ, you want to tell the audience a little about yourself?
Sure. I mean, I've been playing, 360 for a while. First, I guess, gotten around the talking about games community. And then recently I started writing for the site with you guys and Van Red, and it's been great so far.
Yeah, and we definitely appreciate you coming on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess our first topic really is, there's not much to talk about this, but it's something I just wanted to bring up was, Ryan Reynolds went at Comic-Con, he recited the Green Lantern Oath.
It sounds a little like this. In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. But those who worship evil's might, beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
And I don't know, I kind of had a fanboy moment there. I just think that's going to be an awesome movie.
It definitely looks good. I mean, it was like a little kid that asked the question, right? So it made it all the better, right?
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. I'm definitely looking forward to more info about that.
Yeah, I am too.
Definitely.
And another movie Ryan Reynolds is going to be in, Deadpool. A big rumor about that is that Robert Rodriguez is going to be, or is in negotiations to, direct that.
That would certainly be good to see. I mean, what was the last thing he directed? Machete, probably. It's not out yet. But.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of a fan of Rodriguez. I've liked his movies, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I do too. Actually, Machete is out today.
Oh, is it?
According to this article here.
I gotta get out to see
it. Yeah, same. But yeah, I'm gonna be interested to see what he does on a comic book movie, But it could be a lot worse. I mean,
he definitely pulled off the Deadpool in the Wolverine movie. I mean, that was great stuff until they turned into kind of the mess at the end. But the Merc with the Mouth was great.
Yeah, but that's the thing. At the end, he wasn't the Merc with a mouth. That was
right.
Kind of the problem. He didn't
He's
have
the
mouth.
Merc with a stitched up mouth.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Wolverine movie. I still haven't seen it because all I've heard was bad things about it. But the only good thing I heard was Deadpool.
Yeah.
It still is worth taking a look at.
Yeah, I need to get on that, but... okay. Stuart, another movie by... I was talking about it could have been directed by somebody a lot worse. M. Night Shyamalan, that's who I was kind of referring to, but he did The Last Airbender, his latest thing. You got a chance to see that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, and I'm also a fan of the series too. It wasn't bad for the time limit he was kind of given. Like it was like a 1.5-hour movie. It took place during the first season of the show, which is kind of disappointing because I want to see the other two now. But with the reviews it's getting, I doubt that's going to happen.
There was news a little while ago that they're at least starting up the cartoon again, right? But they're
saying, really?
Yeah, there was an article a while ago saying that they're starting up the cartoon set a bunch of years later with, a different avatar. Huh. I mean, at least they're continuing the series, which is great, because yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, the series is on Netflix and Instant Watch. You know, it's very good.
Yeah, it's constantly being watched on your account.
I've watched it once, and then I have two sisters. They each watch it different times. So
yeah, it's just funny. Every time I log on Xbox Live, I just see Casual Terror is watching Last Airbender on Netflix Instant Watch.
Yeah, some episode.
Yeah, but
I do want to mention one thing. The reviews were saying like, oh, the story's not that good, but the special effects are great, which is, you know, kind of true. But the second to last episode of The Last Airbender, they go to watch a play about themselves, and as they walk away, they said the exact same thing. The story was terrible, but the special effects were kind of cool.
Wow.
So I don't know if maybe, you know, M. Night Shyamalan was actually a fan and he kind of put that in there as, you know, I doubt that, since that'd be kind of a suicide pact for the rest of the movies.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe he was just making fun of himself, because he's got a track record where his movies haven't really, the story hasn't been good at all, but the, you know, the effects have been good, so maybe that's just a joke towards himself, you know, that people would laugh at.
Well, I definitely laughed about it when I saw the reviews.
Yeah, you haven't really said, you liked it?
I kind of did, well, because I've seen it, and I think people like it better if they've seen the show and know what else happened that they didn't show in the movie to make a little bit more sense of it.
Okay, so you wouldn't recommend this to someone who hasn't seen the show?
Probably not, because it would get a bit confusing.
Yeah, that's how it is a lot of times. I mean, you're better off knowing the source material going into it sometimes.
Yeah, especially when they try to cram a whole season into one movie.
Well, I was worried that they were going to cram all three seasons into the movie.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of bad.
Definitely. Anything else about it, or?
Nope, not really.
Okay. Yeah, I see M. Night Shyamalan, and I steer away.
He's just been on a downward slope.
I mean, the only movie I've ever really liked with him was Signs, really. And the ending of that kind of sucked.
Signs was good. Sixth Sense was also great.
Sixth Sense was good.
Yeah, but I say The Village is probably the worst movie ever.
The Happening is pretty bad too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, The Happening. Yeah, the trees are killing people.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, The Happening was bad.
A lot of his movies were, but anyways, Eureka. I'm guessing. I honestly don't know what that is.
It's a TV series on sci-fi. It is quite good for sci-fi geeks. It's about a town that was founded by Albert Einstein to house kind of like the top scientists in the world, to like, you know, create, you know, the top technology and stuff there. And of course, you know, like, stuff goes wrong, inventions go crazy sometimes, and it's actually very good.
Huh. So it just started, or?
No, it's they're actually on season 4.
Oh wow.
It's been going on a while then.
Yeah.
Huh.
And in season 4, they do like a time travel and back in time, and they come back and things are different. So that's kind of what season 4 is doing right now.
Huh.
It's very good.
It definitely sounds interesting.
Yeah. So you just discovered this one day, flipping through channels, or?
No, I've known about it for a while, but I just haven't sat down to watch them all, and I recently did that.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, I hear about those shows. Well, I mean, sci-fi's got Eureka and, like, Warehouse 13. I keep hearing
about them. I'm in the middle of watching Warehouse 13 right now.
Yeah.
I just started yesterday.
I hear good things about them, which is, you know, surprising considering how terrible all their movies are.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, their sci-fi's TV shows are good. Their movies, no.
Yeah, I want to go see Sharktopus. Come on. Come on, guys.
Wow. I probably would see that just because, just to say I've seen it.
Just to say you saw Sharktopus.
Yes. But anything else on it, Stuart?
No, other than I recommend anybody who likes sci-fi, it's on the Sci-Fi Network on Fridays.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm ever since they changed their spelling of sci-fi, I don't know.
Yeah, it's seafy.
I mean, that shouldn't affect me liking their stuff, but I just don't like, every time I look at their, sci-fi, the way it's spelled, I just cringe and get upset.
Yeah.
But, actually, Dark DJ, you were talking about Sherlock. You were asking on Twitter if we've seen it. I have not. But, Stuart, have you?
The movie with Robert Downey Jr.?
This is a TV show that started up on the BBC over in the UK. And it's basically like it's Sherlock Holmes in the modern age, kind of. So you've got they've got Watson as an ex-Afghanistan soldier. Medical doctor type who hurt his leg, so he had to come back from the war, and he met this guy and starts sharing an apartment with him, and they go around solving mysteries. It's only two episodes in so far, but at least the Sherlock character reminds me a lot of the doctor. He's really eccentric, kind of all over the place a lot, and it's really been interesting so far. I think I'm gonna have to keep tabs on it.
Yeah, I heard Cookie talk about that.
Yeah, that's really where I picked it up. He and Bear were both talking about it on Twitter, and I figured I'd, go check it out.
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, last time I checked something out from Cookie that he was talking about was Doctor Who, so I'm definitely going to give Sherlock a viewing.
I will, too.
Okay. And I guess we can another thing that's not too much to talk about, but they released the Dexter season 5 teaser trailer, which according to our last Dexter episode, we kind of were predicting some stuff. And
we were right on some stuff according to that trailer.
Yeah, I mean, the whole the one thing that kind of jumped out at me was Quinn trying to be the new Doak.
Yeah, there was that, and what jumped out at me was that Aster was really pissed at Dexter.
Yeah, she seemed real mad.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is kind of what I was saying would happen, so that's what jumped out at me.
Yeah, and just watching that makes me want September to come around so, just fast. I want it to be here now.
Yeah, I really need to go out and pick up the DVDs for season 4 when they come out. Just to, because I don't think I caught all of it when it was on Showtime, so I really need to just fill in the blanks and get there.
Oh, so you don't know why? Okay,
No, I know exactly why. But I missed maybe a couple episodes early on, and I'd like to go back and watch those.
Oh, okay. I was about to say you don't know why Aster's all upset.
Oh yes.
Okay. Next. Next is something I thought was very interesting. I just saw this on online, and it I don't know if you've had a chance, Dark DJ, but to watch the video of it, but it's a video displaying Gorilla Glass.
I haven't seen the video, and I know what Gorilla Glass is. It's just like really durable glass, right?
Yeah, the video basically consists of a guy with a cell phone, and he has a pin, and he's just stabbing the glass. Just stabbing it like crazy.
Yeah, I have to assume that nothing goes wrong.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's like, the only thing, he's like, oh, well, there's a little bit of ink on there, and he wipes it off, and it's like, it doesn't look damaged.
Still pristine.
Yeah. Which, I mean, the first thing I thought of when I saw this was, when they do put this on TVs, will this make it Wii-proof?
I don't know. you get little kids in the room, they can break just about anything.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought of was, guys who carry their phones in their shirt pockets, they've got a little box right there of, maybe it might be bulletproof a little bit, or it definitely stab-proof at least.
Yeah, well,
you can fight off a guy with a knife with your phone.
Well, there was a story, 6 months ago where a BlackBerry stopped a bullet.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. I don't know about all these new phones, though, if they could, but... Maybe this could. Maybe Gorilla Glass could stop a bullet. Who knows?
Mythbusters, get on it.
Yeah, but...
Exactly.
I just thought that was interesting. Just adding a little tech in the podcast. But, okay. Next topic would be the Gears of War 3, the big promotional Carmine shirts. Will Carmine live or will he die?
From what I've seen, it seems like more people want him to live, but maybe that's just, you know, what I've been seeing as opposed to the whole picture.
Yeah, I kind of want to see him live. I mean, I've always liked him as a character. I've always, you know, played him.
There have been like screenshots that have come out of the new Carmine, and he like looks the most buff out of all of them. So I think he's badass enough to deserve to live in my mind.
Yeah, it's funny because during the Times 20 XP weekend, I was playing with Van Red, iFester, and some other people, and we were joking around about, oh, what if the whole game, you know, Carmine's like slowly, you know, looks like he's about to die, and then he just makes it by the skin of his teeth, and then, you know, throughout the whole game, and then, you know, then they reveal whether he dies or he lives.
Sure. So they're writing the game, so they can write the game now and not have to change anything except the end.
Yeah. That would sure be pretty entertaining, I think. But do you want him to live, Dark DJ?
Oh yes, I bought my shirt already.
Oh really?
Yep.
I don't know if I'm gonna buy a shirt or not. I probably will. I have extra points.
Yeah, I was gonna say I had the 80 points laying around, and I wasn't gonna use them for anything else.
Yeah, but this is just, I mean, this is just great, you know, publicity for their game.
Sure.
Coming right around the same time as the 20 times XP weekend.
I mean, I think they were handing out like physical Save Carmine or Carmine Must Die, or not handing out, but selling them at Comic Con.
Yeah, I heard that.
They were doing an E3 too, I think. I could be mistaken about that one.
It certainly wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, was this announced at around E3? I didn't know the whole Carmine Live or Die was that old.
I don't think it was, you know, saying like, you know, this is going to be, you know, how it's determined, but I don't know. I could be absolutely wrong about that.
Okay. But yeah, I'm just wondering what else they're going to do to, you know, for publicity. I'm really hoping for another big XP weekend though.
Yeah. 50 times.
Yeah.
This time for sure.
Cause I love in just one weekend, I leveled from level 1 all the way to 48 or 49.
I didn't play it a ton during the 20 XP. I was doing a lot more PC gaming, but from what I did play, I think I got from like 20 to 40 in a couple hours, which was, you know, great.
Yeah, and we were just playing on casual too. We just to get through the horde mode achievements, so we weren't even playing on like, you know, hardcore or insane. I can't imagine how much you would get from playing on those.
Yeah.
But yeah, 50 times XP. Let's keep wishing.
hop to it, Epic.
Definitely. Okay, I guess our final topic will be, hopefully it'll last as long as I planned it would, but StarCraft II. You two have definitely had a chance to play it, and
Oh boy, StarCraft
II. I'm downloading the trial right now, which I'll buy immediately after, you know, if whether I like it or not. But Stuart, you want to start this?
Sure. I didn't buy StarCraft II right away. Like, I only bought it, maybe Thursday, or, yeah. Yeah, I bought it Thursday, and I jumped right into the multiplayer, which, as somebody who never played StarCraft I and had no idea what they were doing, I lost a lot.
I can imagine.
Yeah, the multiplayer is set up like, when you start off, you get 50 practice matches, you know, where it doesn't count, you know, towards your rank at all. And then right after that, you get five, placement matches to, see which, tier you're in. I don't know exactly how many tiers. I want to say four.
I want to say four or five. Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
bronze,
say four.
Bronze,
silver,
gold. Platinum and diamond, I think.
Platinum and diamond, okay. I knew Diamond was in there. I didn't know if Platinum was or not.
I think Platinum is the one between Gold and Golden Diamond. I'm not, you know, 100% sure.
Okay, it's somewhere I'm never going to be.
That's a top tier I'm never going to make.
But, you know, I've been playing a lot more, and I've been watching a lot of pro replays, kind of like, you know, seeing how to actually play the race I like to play.
Wow, your geek, geek cred just went up.
That was something I wanted.
Watching replays, that's got to be worth something.
I picked a race and just haven't played anything else.
Share it with the listeners. What race did you pick?
I picked Protoss.
Oh, yeah?
Because my decision to buy it was I watched the Giant Bomb live stream.
That was a great showing of it, too.
Yeah, like watching Brad play Protoss at that kind of a level. Like, Protoss is awesome. I don't know why anybody else doesn't pick anything else, but Protoss is awesome.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it's mostly Protoss, and then the people that really don't know what to do go with Terran, just because of the single player is Terran, so they know what a lot of the units do.
Yeah, I haven't, in the multiplayer, I haven't faced a lot of Zerg. And I have dabbled in the campaign a little bit, so you've done more about the campaign than I have, RTJ.
Yeah, I mean, I got pretty excited about this game kind of early on. I saw, some of the beta getting played, and I'm like, man, I can get on board with this. So I picked it up. I picked it up on Tuesday, and I was pretty excited, and I jumped into the single player, which it's a lot more fleshed out than I expect it to be. So, I mean, it's still, missions, one at a time, but you can kind of choose your own way. Like, you have to do all of the missions eventually, but you can kind of choose what order you do them in, which is, always nice. You can do one mission later if you want, like, a certain unit from a different mission beforehand, which is always, it's a nice option to have. But there's also stuff like upgrading units, which, I mean, obviously doesn't carry over to the multiplayer, but you can, both with money that you get from doing missions and from research that you get from doing bonus objectives during the missions, like collecting artifacts or blowing up certain buildings or killing certain units, you can kind of enhance your buildings and your marines. And like the top tier stuff, at least in the research, is pretty potent stuff. Like right now I have my refineries when I build them, which harvest the gas. They go automatically, so I don't have to put any units on them, which is really, it's a time saver.
Wish that was in multiplayer.
Oh yeah,
but that would make my void rush a lot easier to do.
You see those top replays. It's tough to see what they're doing sometimes.
It totally is.
So much micromanagement going on, and like even the commentators, they can only cover so much. And
yeah, the commentators be watching like one area that's going on, but missing something important to learn how to play it better, like all across the map.
Definitely. I mean, you can read like all the beginner's tips in the world, but you're not going to get a whole lot better without either seeing top people involved or getting in there yourself. That being said, I haven't really jumped into multiplayer a whole lot yet. Just some, it's been basically AI matches, so I really need to get in there into that practice league and start going.
Okay, interesting. I still don't know what the game's about. Do y'all want to discuss on that? I guess you could try to sell it to me.
Well, I mean, do you like Space Marines? Yeah, do you like Space Marines? Do you like aliens?
Yeah.
Well, those are both there. I'm happy to say.
Okay.
One thing I forgot to mention is that they have like actual cutscenes in the campaign this time, whereas like the first game, I mean, it was what, 12 years ago, so you can't really fault them for it. But the first game, it was just pretty much talking pictures, like head mugshots of people just saying dialogue a bunch. So it's nice to see them, moving around ships and bars and everywhere else.
Yeah, like in missions, I kind of like the almost adventure type style. It does in between missions. Like you don't necessarily walk around as a character on the ship, but you see what it's like inside the ship.
I've heard those sections compared to Wing Commander, which I'm not really equipped to handle comparison. No. But from what I've heard, they're a lot like it. It's almost static images, and you just look. It's like you're looking at a picture almost and clicking on stuff, but then it goes into a kind of cutscene. But it's still nice to, it's a nice touch to look at.
Okay. And so, Dark DJ, you said on the tag forums that this was your game of the year so far.
Oh man, it's high up there. There are a couple that are in the running this year. I mean, Mass Effect, obviously, is a great game. Also, sci-fi, or it happens to be. But yeah, I'm really enjoying like everything they've done with the campaign. Like in the first StarCraft, a lot of it was just build your base up and then go kill the other guy, or you're given a handful of units and you have to go through the level. But they've introduced all sorts of elements. Like there's one mission that has like a day-night cycle almost, and it's at night these sort of zombie Zerg infested means come and attack your base. And the day they're underground, sort of like if anybody saw I Am Legend, it's a lot like those monsters. But so you have to send out your quick moving guys during the day to go and torch their buildings, and then you know hurry back at night and you know hunker down your defenses to hold off the horde.
Yeah, and the mission that I'm at, there's part of it where lava will actually rise like every like 15 minutes, and you have to collect like a really high number amount of resources. And if you build, you know, structures to defend your base from, you know, occasional Zerg attacks, it counts against your resource collecting. So it's a lot different from Age of Empires, which I played a lot. You know, just kind of like building up this mass army and just going out and wiping out the force, because that was won every single campaign match. Not so much in StarCraft II. Like, there's actually, you know, a different strategy for every single campaign.
Interesting. Huh. So, would you say this is one of your contenders for Game of the Year, Stuart?
Yeah, I would say it's up there, yeah.
Huh. Okay. Let's see.
It's nice. I would say it's a good, even for people that, like, or for people that want to jump into, like, the RTS genre, the real-time strategy games, it's a good stepping stone. Like, you can get into the heavier stuff, like the Command and Conquers and everything else, and your Company of Heroes. But this is, it's good for beginners, I think, because they can learn it. They can learn simple strategies easily.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask if it's, you know, would be user-friendly for people who are not used to playing PC games.
Yeah, I would say so.
Alrighty. Now, how far in the campaign have you gotten, or have you completed it?
No, I'm not done with it yet. I'm told there's, I think, 26 missions, and I've done probably 18.
Yeah, there's 26 missions, but one's a secret mission.
That's what I hear is there's a secret mission, and there's a like kind of a miniature campaign situated in the main campaign. I'm not gonna like spoil it or anything, but it's a nice change of pace.
Okay.
Dr. J, you said you have played the multiplayer a little bit?
Yeah, just like very minimal, not a whole lot. My race is going to be Terran, I think. From what I've played of the three so far, it's the one that I feel most comfortable with.
Yeah, because of the campaign, right?
Oh, well, that's a lot to do with it. I played a lot of Terran in, well, the original StarCraft. I think I like Terran more than anything else anyway.
Okay, so how different is this from the original, since you played the original?
It's not really. They kept a lot of the stuff the same. I mean, there's obviously tweaks, but, you know, if they changed it too much, because, I mean, there's the huge community in South Korea that goes wild for StarCraft, right? So, I mean, if they changed it too much, they want people to jump over to the next one, you know. They want South Korea to move to StarCraft 2. So if they, you know, drastically changed it, then people get, you know, angry and not make the jump.
Yeah, it's crazy over Korea. I mean, ridiculous, but
it's the national sport.
Yeah. Really. But yeah, so I'm looking at an article on talking about games, and it's sold 1.5 million in the first 48 hours.
Yeah, it was a huge launch.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Especially, I mean, that a lot of people were thinking PC gaming's, you know, is dying out, but that proves that theory wrong.
Yeah, it proves that everybody still cares about Blizzard.
And it also proves that, hey, you need to go out and get a new video card, because everything on low looks a lot like StarCraft 1.
Yeah, I was going to say, they did make it, you know, so that lower NPCs can play it, because a lot of the PCs in South Korea, like, you rent time at internet cafes, kind of, or from what I understand, anyway. But those PCs aren't they aren't top-of-the-line graphics cards in there. So if they wanted to play StarCraft 2, then to be able to, you know, Blizzard needed to be able to make it scale down, and from what I understand, they've done that pretty well.
Which is something that Blizzard tends to do a lot. They want a lot of people to play their games, so they make it, like, you know, World of Warcraft can be scaled down quite a bit, as well as, you know, StarCraft 2 now. So
they definitely want to make them as accessible as possible, and that the and those graphic scaling options are a big part of that.
Interesting. So, well, I don't know what kind of rigs y'all have, but are the graphics way better than the first? I mean, you know, 12 years ago, of course, but
12 years of time, yeah, you're gonna see some improvement. I mean, it's a it is a real time strategy game, but you can get up nice and close now, and you can see the models, and they do look good. It is a good looking game, and the environments are great as well.
Okay. What else? I'm trying to think of questions to ask y'all. I'm drawing blank.
Drawing a blank.
Yeah. I had a bunch that before today I was coming up with a bunch. I should have just wrote them down, but so the multiplayer is it's kind on you, right? At the beginning, cuz you said you get 50 practice matches.
Yeah, but I was lucky cuz my second practice match it might not sound lucky, but I came across a semi-pro, or so he claimed. And yeah, he beat me real fast. Yeah, real fast. But right after the match, he messaged me and said, "I will teach you a bunch of strategy. You know, I will teach you the basics."
Young Padawan.
Yeah, so
take you under his wing.
Yeah, so like we played like maybe 5 custom matches in a row, and he talked me through a lot.
Oh, so you can make custom matches?
Like, oh yeah.
Yeah, there's you can do a lot of unranked stuff.
Okay.
And then
Like there's even co-op.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's an option to search for people and then jump in against the AI instead of playing against other players.
Okay, is there anything like I guess team battle?
Up to 4v4.
Yeah, you can do 4-on-4.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And
it comes with a map editor as well. So there's also custom maps out there too.
Oh wow, looks like this is gonna last another 12 years at least.
Yeah,
but
well, I mean they've got because I mean this is just the Terran camping. They've still got two that they're treating as expansion packs.
I forgot about
they've
that.
They've got two more out for Zerg and Protoss down the line.
Oh, interesting. Huh. I wonder if they're going to charge a full price for those. Or
yeah, I'm wondering if they'll be 40 or if they'll be 60 or what the pricing structure is going to be.
Yeah, definitely.
I seriously doubt it's going to be another $60 for just the campaign, because it's going to do nothing for the multiplayer.
Yeah. But another question about the multiplayer. How long would you say the matches last? Like average matches?
It depends.
Yeah, it definitely. Go ahead.
Like I've seen 30-minute matches, but I've also been in 5-minute matches.
A lot of it, it's player skill and player strategies. I know the Terrans can be very good at turtling, like building up their defenses and kind of just hunkering down and in it for the long haul. And their buildings can also they have like jets on them that they can lift off their buildings and move somewhere else. So
which is
people
really bad for someone who's planning a rush. Then when they get there, the base is gone.
Yes, yeah, I was gonna say the zergling rush isn't great when the buildings are floating above your head and moving away. But there was a guy. This was over on the Giant Bomb forums. But there was a guy who got into a 5-hour placement match because this guy that he was playing against was playing Terran, and he lifted off. They both killed each other's bases. And then the Terran guy lifted off his factory, and the other guy didn't have any anti-air, so it was a stalemate, and neither of them wanted to give up, so they just locked in there for a while.
Interesting.
I think the guy that was playing Protoss, I think he said he accidentally hit his reset button on his computer when he was trying to plug in a headset or something, so it was a sad end to the story.
So 30 minutes is roughly the longest, or? The average.
Well, that was a pro match.
Okay,
but a lot happened during that pro match, though.
Okay, so
if I were to hazard a guess, I would say 20 minutes. But if you get rushed, it's obvious. And if you get rushed and you're not prepared, then it's obviously going to take less time.
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering whether or not you'd have to set aside like a couple hours or not to play multiplayer.
No, okay.
Well, you don't know. RTS.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not like Civilization. Civilization, those games take forever, man. But I mean, they're still fun. Yeah,
I was watching in a 12-hour match.
In Civilization.
Yeah.
See, I grew up on Command & Conquer, so I'm kind of used to long, you know, RTS battles or whatever. But so that's why I was asking. But that's pretty good. 30 minutes.
Yeah, they go pretty quick.
Okay. Also, I don't want it, on my trial, I don't want it to be, you know, all taken up just from, you know, multiplayer.
Just from one multiplayer match.
Yeah. But, okay, you mentioned the cutscenes a bit. Are there tons of cutscenes, or do they just throw them in there, like, slightly?
There's
a lot.
There's one before every mission, and there's usually one or two after every mission. I mean, during the mission, it's usually just, you know, it's the image of the unit, you know, giving pep talks or whatever, talking about your objectives. But, you know, before and after, you get couple-minute cutscenes, either, you know, briefing you on the mission or examining, like, some of your crew members that are perhaps less than trustworthy.
Okay, what else? That...
It's worth noting that, I don't know how the normal edition, but I got the limited edition, like with all the, like with the comic book and the art book and the soundtrack, and it came with a USB key in the form of dog tags, that has the original StarCraft and StarCraft expansion on it, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, really?
But I guess Stuart gave you a guest pass, right?
Yeah.
So he must have to. But the game does come with two guest passes. For StarCraft, and two for World of Warcraft as well.
Yeah, well, that comes in everything Blizzard does.
Everything Blizzard does these days comes with
World of Warcraft
stuff.
Yeah.
But it is nice that they include them, so you can at least, you know, give your friends a taste, see if they like it or not.
Yeah, because I've been hesitant about getting it, because I never played the first one, so, you know, when Stuart offered me the guest pass, I was like, oh yeah, definitely. Because I've been on the fence about it, so this will definitely tip me over.
It's definitely friendly to people who haven't played the first one. I mean, like the install explains basically the entire story of the first game and the expansion pack.
Yeah,
I was very happy
about, because I did buy like the StarCraft and Anthology about 2 months ago, installed it, started to play it, but I was like, I can't deal with this. This is just too bad. Like, I'm not saying the game was bad, but just the graphics were just so bad, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you got higher-res stuff on your plate.
Yeah.
It's tough to match. But yeah, it does a good job in the installer of covering everything. And then in the game, it definitely, you know, not as explicitly as in the installer, but it does cover some of the stuff that happened.
That's interesting. So I guess... Do you guys think this is going to put a damper on World of Warcraft for this month? Affect it any bit at all?
What, you mean, do I think subscribers are going to drop off of World of Warcraft? No.
Oh, no, I mean, not drop off, but I mean...
But game play, yeah. Time, sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, I will say, but the thing is, with Battle.net and Real ID, like, Real ID, you can cross-game chat. So, like, you can see, you know, like, what your friend's doing in World of Warcraft while you play StarCraft, and vice versa.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And also talk to each other.
That's pretty neat.
It's got the whole Battle.net thing. It's got a nice user interface in the menus of StarCraft, too. But there's a nice option for Facebook. And I know, like, Facebook and video games is usually pretty dumb. But this one, it basically figures out, I mean, using the Real ID stuff, it figures out who on Facebook has StarCraft 2 and lets you send invites to them. And that was really, it came in handy.
Oh, so that's it? It doesn't post, like, every time you log on?
No, it doesn't send anything. It doesn't post on the wall.
Oh, that's good.
What I think it does is I think it looks for the same email address.
Yeah.
So someone's using a different email address for Facebook than their Battle.net, you're out of luck finding them through Facebook.
Yeah, it's not foolproof, but the nice thing is you can find people that you didn't even know, you know, played. Like I have this kind of jockish friend, and he showed up, and I'm like, man, he plays StarCraft? That's surprising.
Yeah, same kind of happened with me. A guy, yeah, go ahead.
we're just going to get in some matches soon and start playing. It's going to, it's just surprising, but go ahead.
Same kind of thing happened to me. This guy I kind of knew in high school. You know, I'm friends with him on Facebook. I'm like, oh, he has StarCraft. And then I saw him at Walmart yesterday, and we talked a bit about it.
Well, that's interesting. Well, real quick, I found an article, 10 Reasons to Skip StarCraft 2. I'm going to go through them and see whether y'all agree with the certain points or not. Most likely y'all are going to disagree, but y'all can, give the counter argument for it. First is talked about the PC, basically, you'll have to put a mortgage on your house to upgrade it. It's joking around about, do you really need that?
It does scale, but it's definitely, I already have a decent, at the very least, gaming desktop. So if it does scale, but it's definitely nicer to have a better computer, but you don't have to. It's not mandatory, I'd say.
Yeah, my computer is about 5 years old, and I'm running NVIDIA 7 730. So they don't even sell those anymore.
Okay.
It looks good.
Everything's on low.
My laptop has a mobile 9800 NVIDIA. So, my laptop can run Crysis, so I'm sure it can run this.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. The next point is basically says wait for the battle chest.
Oh, so wait until all three of them are out?
Yeah.
That would definitely put you behind on multi for sure. Well, maybe.
Yeah, because who knows when those are going to be out. I mean, it took 12 years for this one to come out.
Okay, so would y'all suggest to wait if you don't care about multiplayer?
The single player will be the same, 4 years from now as it is now. Well, I guess it would probably... I have no idea what release timing they're shooting for these expansions, but I would think maybe every 2 years, maybe. I'm just spitballing, but that would probably be 6 years before a battle chest. But the single player is going to be the same, no matter when you play it. It's the same with all single player games.
Okay. The next one I love. I think I told Stuart this last week, but newborn Koreans will hand you your ass.
That's not going to happen because each version of StarCraft is region locked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're only playing people in the U.S.
Like the U.S. or like North America?
North America.
Okay. Yeah.
So you cannot play, Europeans or Koreans.
Oh, that kind of sucks. Huh.
It was a big deal in, I think, Australia. Like, they're ahead of us in time, obviously, so they got the game earlier. But they can only play against, I think, other Australians, and maybe it might be, like, Koreans or Asians or something.
Well, I would think...
They're in the Asian region.
I would think... Oh, they're in the Asian? I was about to say, I think they could play New Zealand, and, that's right near Australia, but... Wow.
Yeah, but they get the Koreans, though.
Okay.
I think... I might be mistaken, but Blizzard said they were working on, having Australians have an option on either Asia or North America, I think, or Asia and Europe or something. But they were going to give an option to get out of the Asian, brackets.
Huh. I see why they're doing that, but that kind of sucks considering, we have gaming friends in Europe and, that just sucks. Not that, not saying that we would play with them, but, yeah, wow.
I'm not sure. Is it just region locked for like ranked matches? Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't really looked into it. But for all I know, you could do a custom match with somebody in the UK or whatever. But again, I don't actually know.
Oh, that'd be a lot better then. Okay. The next point was that people, I guess the big boycott on Activision stuff. People are fed up, have gotten fed up with Activision for one reason or another.
Well, that's just Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Guitar Hero, and it's the Infinity Ward debacle.
Yeah, but, this was way before, this was in development probably way before Activision and Blizzard merged.
Before they merged with Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of void,
And from what I don't think Activision really does have much say in what Blizzard does.
Man, I would hope not. I would hope they just let Blizzard do their thing.
Yeah, I really think, they just want Blizzard money, Blizzard bucks.
That would be the fall of Blizzard if Activision took over.
Yeah, it would.
Okay. Another point was that... which one do I want to go for now? Okay, that the first one was so long ago that you can't remember the story.
Well, I mean, that's the installer. It'll give you the summation.
Okay, so it basically gives you enough to where you can just pick up and play. That
you're not gonna be in the dark if you listen to the installer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I always love an installer that does stuff instead of just sitting there. Like the older Command & Conquer games with like the console boot up, and they would show you all the schematics of all the units and stuff. That was great stuff.
Okay. Another one kind of goes on the I guess it's going towards the wow factor about it says consider your loved ones. I guess that you'd be sucking so much time into it. Is this like a game you'd get addicted to like WoW, or could y'all decide I'm gonna stop now? Or
I've been pretty good at I'm just gonna play two matches and I'm done. But I still want to play more later on in the day. But that's also my training from World of Warcraft.
There was a night this weekend where I jumped into some campaign, and then after every mission I was like, no, this mission sounds interesting. I think I'll do it now instead of tomorrow. And then time kind of got away from it. But I think you can definitely, if you have things to do, then there is nothing stopping you from doing those things instead of playing StarCraft.
You can lose yourself a lot easier in the campaign than you can in the multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean the multiplayer definitely. It's distinct matches, so you're not, like, folding one into another, rolling.
Yeah.
You have to, get out, jump into another match.
Okay. Well, that's understandable with any campaign, though. Any good campaign, you could lose yourself in it.
Sure.
I've been there so many times. Another point was that they just talked about this. I don't know. But that there are two more expansions. So I don't know why they brought that up again, but okay, that's about all the good ones, good points. I mean, another one is, it says no RTS can top Dune.
Oh man, Dune was a great RTS.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just for laughs, I'm definitely believe. But okay, well, that's it, that's, basically everything I got about, wanted to know about that. Anything else y'all want to talk about?
I got my plug on Sherlock in, so I think I'm all right.
Alrighty. Stuart?
I'm good.
Alrighty. We've recorded about an hour, so I'm okay with that. Another shorter show, but not too short.
Jam-packed with content.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So... I guess we would. I guess I'll go into the plug-in, the Open Forum Radio Network. We've said this before, but if you're new, check out Open Forum Radio. Their site right now. I think they're claiming it's version 1.75, something like that. I don't know, but it's at openforumradio.com. So give them a listen. They're quite unique. They cover. They talk about games, music, or not music, they used to do music, but games, movies, television, and mostly sports. So,
yeah.
If you're a gamer that's also into sports, then give that a shot. But, and another one is the 40cast, which, get a couple, it's basically just a couple guys drinking, talking about random stuff, whatever the topics are. That's definitely as entertaining as it sounds, if not more entertaining. But then we have Zavari Section Z cast. I think I'm not sure if his latest episode's out or not. I know he recorded one. I think he had Jaybird on, but definitely.
Only Jaybird.
Yeah, but definitely give that a listen. Then we have the Sportscast, the OFR Sportscast, which I think it's going to really pick up since, you know, football season's just around the corner. And I know
they say Favre is retiring, but I have heard that one before.
Yeah, I have too. He's retiring during training camp.
He's retiring this time we
fool us once, shame on us. Fool us twice, shame on you.
It was Detox who said, "A boy who cried Favre."
Oh, that's just awesome.
Which, like, that gave me a chuckle.
But wow, I think that's the most sports we've talked about on this show. How sad is that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they get all their sports in on the other shows, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Then there's Prove Your Point, which I don't think they've put out an episode in a while. That's on the Open Forum Radio feed, but I need to, you know, we need to message them and tell them we want a new episode, because I definitely want them to put out a new one. That's an interesting podcast idea.
Yes, it is.
Even though I kind of lost, but I think I shouldn't have lost, because Scarfinger was basically saying the reason why I lost was I didn't mention Spider-Man was the GOAT, but I did. I said Spider-Man was Marvel's big thing. I didn't say the word the GOAT, but whatever.
and I lost because I can't argue in that kind of format.
Yeah.
It is tough to argue when you can't, you know, actually see the person.
And you can't interrupt them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was given, like, real short notice, and so I had, like, no time to prepare.
Oh, I had absolutely none. It's like, hey, you want to be on? Sure. Okay, I'll call you right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Start arguing.
That's basically how it was, but, yeah. Anyways, is that it? Did they add a new one? No. I think that's all the Open Forum Radio Network shows, if I'm not mistaken. But, and I guess with that, it's time to plug our stuff, you know? Check out our site, thegeeksforthewin.com. At, you know, the Geeks FTW, not, you know, don't spell out for the win, because that might get you somewhere else. But it's, you know, where, you know, you can find more episodes from this podcast. You know, you can find all the ways to subscribe, whether Zune, iTunes, you know, straight from the site. You can read articles we've posted about, you know, just random stuff in the geek culture, whether it's from us, you know, one of the three of us, or our other writer, Van Red. And I'm pretty sure there might be a StarCraft 2 review from somebody in the near future, so. But
yeah, I think I'm going to write a Singularity review, because I just finished that over on the 360. But, you know, after that, maybe I'll do some stuff on StarCraft.
Alrighty, cool. So you got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can follow us on Twitter at, you know, Geeks FTW Podcast. We're about to have a contest real soon, so you may want to follow that feed.
Yeah. And you can become a friend of us on Facebook. Just search for Geeks FTW.
Exactly.
And look for our logo.
Exactly. And, you know, I guess it's time to beg for feedback again. we really want feedback, because We want to know if we're doing anything wrong, or, you know, or what we can do to make the show better. So just, you know, just leave us feedback, whether on the site, on Twitter, you know, iTunes review, Zune review, because you can't leave reviews on Zune, but at you can leave them at zune.net, but anyways. And
you can talk about it on Facebook, because there's a Facebook discussion and the fan page.
Exactly.
So is there too?
Exactly. Facebook and our email, which is thegeeksftw@gmail.com. So, you know, just send us an email. Let us know, you know, whether we suck, whether we're good, what you like, what you don't like. You know, you want us to talk more about games, movies, television, you know, tech, well, whatever. Just let us know. And no, Jaybird, that's not an invitation to just spam us telling us we suck, because I know Jaybird was probably thinking that. But with that, I guess, shout-outs. Dark DJ?
I guess I'll shout-out same old people, Van Red, iFester, Mongo Bear, B Vital, if he's listening, and Van Red's, his wife Navis, they're all great people. I've been playing with them for a number of years, and it's just great every time we get together. And we do, if I'm not mistaken, we can always use more writers on the site.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, send us an email or whatever to if you like to write, and we'll take a look.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. If you want to join the Geeks for the Win staff, you know, shoot us and, you know, a message on Twitter, you know, or Facebook, or, well, basically whatever, wherever. We check everything, so. Mm-hmm. Stuart?
I give a shout out to Dark RGJ for, you know, stepping in as our third, which we haven't had in a while.
Well, thanks for having me on.
And, you know, Van Red, of course. All the R guys. That's it.
Okay, and I just wanted to basically ditto what Dark DJ said. I've been playing a lot, but lately with Mongo Bear, Vital, iFester, and, well, not so much Van Red since StarCraft 2 came out, but we all played a lot during 20 times XP, and then we've cracked down too and whatnot. Just trying to help each other get achievements or find orbs and damn orbs.
I really need to finish up Crackdown 2. I think I have like one more beacon.
Oh yeah.
I have a lot more.
Yeah.
Oh, we should get on that.
That game's definitely a lot more fun to play with people. By itself, it's not an incredible experience.
Yeah.
No.
Very, very dull by itself, but.
The one you run around, you know, jumping, you know, around buildings, and, you know, your friend's sniping, and then you walk up behind him and kick him off a building. That's good stuff.
Yeah, or when you have a duck fight with the exploding ducks.
We were, you and I, Poetic, and Fester and Mongo, I think, were all flying around on a helicopter getting orbs, and I didn't know when I jumped into the helicopter blades, and I got spun out to sea. Oh, there's definitely good laughs in that game, but a lot of them you have to have the right people to find.
Yeah, and that never gets old. I mean, that happens to, like, at least a couple times every time we play. Like, that happens at least a couple times with every time I play with Fester, or, you know, either him or me will end up accidentally jumping in the blades, and someone will be like, oh, it's sushi time or something, some comment. But, yeah, I just want to shout out them, and that's about it. I guess, you know, this has been episode 17 of the Geeks for the Win, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.